For those online, we'd like to welcome you, especially the men and women who are sacrificing much to give us freedom. We thank you for what you're doing for this country. Appreciate that. Hey, for those of you that follow Pastor Miles' social media with Twitter or Facebook or maybe the Rock app, you may have known his grandmother passed away this week. It was an unexpected thing. She was 96, but in pretty good health. He had some time with her a few months ago, but unfortunately this week she went to be with the Lord. So Pastor Miles is with his family, mourning the loss of his grandma. He was pretty close with her. So if I could just ask you as his church, please keep him in prayer. He has the memorial or the service tomorrow, probably tomorrow morning on the East Coast. So if you would pray for him and his family, that'd be cool. My name is Ricky. I'm one of the pastors. I've been serving you here for the last 5 or so years. And I just want to say it's been an amazing journey. You are an amazing family. My family, you are my family in San Diego and beyond. And the last 5 years, every year, they call me something new. You have these, I'm kind of a utilities guy, and most of the pastors here are. They drop us where they need us. And as you know, we're becoming one church with many locations. We started a North County campus this year, and that is Rock Church in North County and a satellite. And we're launching a satellite in East County, and some of you have heard Pastor Miles talk about that. And I just want to tell you that I've actually accepted that position as the East County campus pastor. So I'd love to have you guys join me there. Thank you. I'd love to have you come minister there in East County. If you're wondering what qualifies you as East County, is anywhere past the Rosecrans Avenue in that direction. So if you live in that area, then help me out. There's a lot of people that need Jesus, and so we're going to be launching church at the end of the year. Keep that in your prayers as well. I know for those of you that have been with us over the last couple of weeks, starting in Easter, we started this series called Freedom Project. And it's not just a cute name or a catchy name, something that we thought was really cool. It's actually literally about getting people set free. And you heard that in the worship tonight. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you've seen that actually happen. And maybe some of you are here as a result of the Holy Spirit setting you free. On Easter, Pastor Miles gave us some cards and asked us to write that sin that we felt like we were just, it was totally consuming us and we were a slave to. And many of you wrote that down and dropped it at the cross. And you can see those in an art display out there. And then last week, if you were here, Pastor Miles asked us to really evaluate what was driving that sin. So what was the initial heart problem? What's the big problem in the heart? And let's die to that and stop being a slave to that. And a bunch of you took him up on that offer and you wrote it out and dropped it. And this evening, we're going to take a little bit different view at freedom, because there's a lot of you that are sitting in here that are free, that you've accepted this gift of freedom, this free gift of freedom. And it's not so that you can just have it for yourself. It's actually so that you can give it away. And some of you are even wondering, you're sitting there, well, what does that look like? Maybe it was just Easter a couple weeks ago when you found that freedom. So tonight, we're actually going to take a look at what that looks like. But I don't. If you weren't here on Easter, then this is going to be new for you. If you were, I just want to reintroduce you to this video. Our creative team is amazing. I mean, they could easily take any team from Hollywood, hands down. And they came up with this video, and I want you to watch it real strategically. Look for the symbolism. But this is really the crux of our entire series and what the Lord's going to speak to you tonight on. So if you would draw your attention to these screens and check out this video.
We've been lied to. And somehow we're okay with it. Have you looked around? I mean, really seen what is happening? The pain is real. We got used to it. me ask you something. Why are you here? Why do you keep coming back? Look in the mirror. Do you still see brokenness, addiction, shame, a state of bitterness and indifference? Do you think someday freedom will just come? What if one night at the end of your life you wake up, look around, and discover freedom never came? That it never happened. Today is the day. Freedom is real. You can have it. You can be free. But you must attack the system that sustains the injustice. The system is you. It's all of us. Freedom. Do you want it? Then receive it. And if you receive it, don't you dare hold it to yourself. Be concerned for the broken. Don't look the other way. And don't wait for others to lead. It's up to you, one human to another. This is what we are here for. This is what we have to do. Let's see this through. We cannot allow people to be demoralized. Change the course. Stop the demand. And get in the way. We are all in this together. Like you, these people just want a dream. Have a life, a name, an identity to be set free.
People addicted and enslaved by that addiction, enslaved by their careers, their pursuits. And then you see these folks with the white, and they were freedom fighters. See, they had found freedom, and their whole mission in life was to go out and grab everybody's red tape and get them free. And that's really what we're talking about today. Now, maybe some of you are here. You're not really sure why you're here. You just kind of wandered in the building, and maybe someone has been inviting you like crazy and said, You gotta come, and now you're here. And you feel like you can be honest and just say, yeah, I'm one of those guys with the red tape. I'm addicted, or I'm caught in some type of thing that's enslaving me. I want you to hang in there and listen to what God has for you. But primarily, I have a word for you, Rock Church family. Those of you that have experienced that freedom, you're wondering, now what do we do with it? If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, you can download one on your phone. Very quickly and easily, unless you have AT&T, and then just look on next somebody next to you because we don't get reception in here. If there's a physical Bible on somebody's lap next to you and you do not own a Bible, just take the one off their lap. Now that's yours, and they'll buy another one. Here's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at three individuals, two of which that found freedom and how they responded when they finally realized that their chains had fallen off. And then one who was a freedom fighter called to a higher calling. And we're going to see how all three of these guys, how they go about saving and seeking the lost, because that's our call. I'm just going to ask, as you're turning to Luke 19, the Lord to bless tonight, and then we'll move on. Father, thank you for an opportunity we have looking at your word. Pray for Pastor Miles and his family that you would give them comfort and that they would have time to laugh and time to cry and bring him back refreshed. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at this guy. His name is Zacchaeus. And what you need to know about Zacchaeus is he was a tax collector. And what you need to know about tax collectors is that they were pretty much in the eyes of society, they were about as bad as you can be. Their own people, the Jews, they hated them because in order to be a tax collector, you had to vow to support the Roman government, which means you were a traitor. Not only that, but you could charge for taxes whatever you felt like you wanted. The government only asked for a portion so you could get rich off of your fellow Jews, and they couldn't do anything about it. You were protected by the government. And the Romans didn't like him because they didn't have any respect for someone who would just deny their people and be a traitor for money. So no one really liked these guys. However, they were incredibly wealthy. They had a lot of influence and they had a lot of power. We're going to look at one guy, Zacchaeus, who falls in that category. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho, it reads, and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I want to catch you up to speed is where we are. So Jesus has entered Jericho, but he's on his way to Jerusalem, and we know that Jerusalem is the place where he would be ultimately tried, convicted, and he would be crucified. We know that as he was making his way to Jerusalem, this is the last encounter that we have recorded with him, literally having a conversation with anybody besides his disciples. And before this happens in Luke 18, there's a series of messages that we hear from Jesus. One, there's a tax collector like this one and a religious man, and they're both in the synagogue and they're praying, and Jesus says, look how the religious man is bragging to God about how good he is, and the tax collector is beating his chest and saying, God, please forgive me. Then we have this encounter with these little people, little kids, and the crowds are all around Jesus, and the little kids can't see. They're trying to look through the crowd, and Jesus parts the crowd and says, bring those little kids to me because they are so important to me. And then we have a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and pretty much can buy or do anything he wants. He's rich, he's young, he's got authority, he's got power. And he says to Jesus, how can I buy my way into heaven? And Jesus says, you can't. In fact, you got to leave all that to follow me. And he walks away sad. And here we have Zacchaeus, who qualifies in all three categories. He's a tax collector, which means no one really likes him, but he's incredibly rich. He has incredible influence and power. He's a man of small stature like the little kids, and he can't see Jesus, so he has to figure out a way to do it. And not only that, but as he sees Jesus and he wants to get a picture of Jesus and he wants to know Jesus, he has to really find his way to get there. And so he's working really hard to figure out how he can earn some kind of salvation or heavenly influence. And so because of his money, like the rich young ruler, he wants to know if he can buy his way into heaven. Here he is in the tree, and Jesus does a crazy thing in the eyes of everybody there. Their jaws would have dropped. Here's a rabbi who looks up to this dude that nobody liked, and he calls him by name, and he calls him down from the tree, and he says, we have to hang out. It would have been crazy if you were there and see that. And here's how Zacchaeus responds in verse 7. It says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of sinners. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said, Lord, look, everything I have, I give half of all of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will repay them four times that amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is like a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. You know, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he said this in this book. He says, I'm compelled by the gospel, by Jesus Christ. I'm compelled to do amazing things for him because of his love for me. It's overwhelmed me. And this is what we see with Zacchaeus. Because all of a sudden his chains fell, and he experienced freedom like we saw in this video for the first time ever, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And so because he experiences this freedom, he's like, you know what? I'll just give half of all I have and I'll repay everybody four times. That's crazy. But it's not important to him. He just lets it go. You know, if you want to learn a lot about Jesus, you have to look at little kids. Watch little ones. Because in all my seminary and all that, I've never learned as much as I have by watching my son. He's 11. My son loves and is passionate about a few things. He's a passionate individual, but specifically, right? He's passionate about Jesus. He loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, and mind. He's passionate about his mommy. He loves his mommy. He's passionate about baseball. He loves baseball. And then it's like recess, sushi, and then me. I'm like fifth. He got incredible grades, so my wife and I were going to bless him, and we're going to bring him to a Padres game. By the way, you guys, pray for the Padres. They're coming out of it, right? But pray for those brothers. They need our prayer support. Come on now. So I want to get the best seat in the house, so I go to the most logical place, Craigslist, right? And I get the only seat I can afford. I meet the guy, I give him the cash, I take his tickets, I go pick my son up from school. We're all excited. I got the backpack full of food because I'm not paying $8 for a hot dog. And we get to the park, we pay for parking, we walk up to the gate. And I want to tell you, there's red lights are never good to see. They're not good to see in your rearview mirror, they're not good to see at the airport, and they're not good to see at a Padres game, because when they scanned our tickets, all the red lights came on. And the lady said, "Oh, I'm sorry, these tickets are voided." I said, "What does that mean?" It means that somebody sold you dud tickets, right? And I have the guy's cell phone. I even know his address. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, you know, "Lord, can you just help me to not be a Christian for 1 hour? That's all I need, Lord." I'm calling him and no response. Obviously, it's a scam. And we're sitting there on the curb, dejected. And my son, super disappointed, said, "Can I borrow your phone?" I'm thinking maybe he's going to call my wife. And he pushes redial because he knows how to work the iPhone. And he says, "Hello, this is the son of the guy who you scammed, and I just want to tell you, we forgive you, we love you, and we just don't do it anymore. We just want to tell you we love you." And I go, "I was just about to do that." You know why an 11-year-old would find it in his heart to forget about a stupid Padres game and forget about the $50 that we're out and forget about all my enjoyment for the evening? You know why he called that guy? Because he was more concerned about that guy's slavery to sin than he was his own comfort for that night or fun. That's why you learn a lot when you watch kids. And that's what happens to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is not concerned about his bank account. He forgets about money. And all he can think about is making it right with people and moving in freedom. Some of you here tonight, in order to be a freedom fighter, you got to let go of the very thing that had captured you. The next guy is a freedom fighter. His name's Philip. And in Acts chapter 8, we can read his story. Acts chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts is just after, it's the fifth book in the New Testament. Acts is the Acts of the Church. That's what that's all about. And we get to see a firsthand glimpse of what the beginning church was like. Philip was one of the freedom fighters, and he had walked with Jesus, so he experienced freedom, and he was free. And this is what happens to him. It's an amazing story. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said, 'Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near to it.' And Philip ran to the chariot, and he had heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'Well, how can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip in, and he had him sit down with him." I want to just give you a little insight of what's happening here, because this man was an Ethiopian. He was far from the furthest south that you can go. And Philip, just responding to the Lord said, "I want you to go. Just be there." And he doesn't even tell Philip what to say, but Philip hears this guy reading out loud, which was customary in the day. When you would read, you would just read out loud. And when he hears him reading out loud, he just has this sense that the guy doesn't know what he's reading. And sure enough, and so he asks, and the guy says, "Help me understand." And so this freedom fighter gives him an insight to what that is. There's a lot of little cute Christian sayings, and sometimes we put them on bumper stickers and t-shirts, and even though they're really cute, they're not biblically accurate. One of those is, always preach sermons, and when necessary, use words. And though I get what that bumper sticker is talking about, it's like live, and even scripture says, live a really good life so that pagans will watch you and they'll glorify God. But there is absolutely no biblical perspective on not using words. In fact, scripture says in 1 Peter 3, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. And you don't have to be a theologian to give reason for the hope that you have. Do you get that? The hope that you have is in Jesus. The hope that you have is that my sin, he paid for on the cross, and the gift of freedom I have is free. That's the answer. Now, you can go deeper and you can get theological, but honestly, when people ask you these deep theological questions and you don't know, you just say, I don't know. Let's find out together. But if you're too intimidated to even give reason for your hope, that's like this. It's like you have all the answers, but do you really have all the answers? And people get into doubt. Well, wait a minute. You call yourself saved and Christian, but do you have answers? It's like my son and I, we ran into Target, and we were running behind, and we see one of the guys that has khaki pants and a red polo shirt tucked in, and I go, hey, I'm looking for this. Where is it? And the guy goes, I don't know. Oh, man, dude, I'm, you know, okay. I guess I'll just find it. He goes, I don't work here. I go, but you got a red polo tucked in with khakis. He goes, I know, right? Everybody keeps asking me where things are. I don't work here. So note to self, don't wear a red polo tucked in with khakis at Target, or go out and wear that just to have a little fun and point all kinds of different directions to people. It's like that. You got to know the basics of your faith. And believe me, you know more than you think you know. You know more than you think you know. There is so much packed in here. I mean, have you ever been like riding your bike, walking, driving your car, and all of a sudden you're like, I want to rock right now. I'm Rob Bass and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone. I mean, like, where did that come from? Like, I love you, Rob Bass, but get out of my head. Like, how come that's in there? Because some junior high dance, I heard that, and then it's like in there. And also in there is all kinds of worship songs that you guys have heard here and sermons that you've heard here and passages of scripture. And those are what you want to tap into. And always be prepared when the Lord says, in order to be a freedom fighter today, I'm going to put you smack dab into someone's pathway that has all kinds of questions. The first guy, he was experiencing being a freedom fighter by getting rid of all the things that had captured him before. The second guy, well, he just knew what he knew. He had a reason for his hope. And because of that, God could use him and drop him in places where he could be a freedom fighter. And this third guy, I love this third guy, probably the best. In Luke chapter 5, turn there. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke chapter 5, we read this encounter with one of these tax collectors. Once again, these tax collectors. And this guy, in the scripture we're going to read, his name is Levi, but it was changed to Matthew after he found freedom. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, we read this. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at the tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. I want to point something out. In this day and age, there was a lot of rabbis, hundreds of rabbis. And to be asked to be a student of rabbi, modern day equivalent would be like being accepted into Harvard or Stanford. It was quite the honor. I mean, you were blown away, and everybody was proud if you got asked to be a student of a rabbi. But you had all kinds of qualifications to match. You had to memorize most of the Old Testament, and you had to know, the law and the prophets. This guy is sitting at his table. He's got power, money, influence. On his right is a Roman soldier. On his left is a Roman soldier. No one's going to mess with him. He can take money. He's a crook, and he knows that. And you can feel just by reading this that he was just not happy with that. He was just waiting for someone to say, you don't have to live like that. There's other options. Some of you came here tonight, and I want to just tell you, you're wrapped up in all kinds of addiction and slavery to this word, what we call sin. And you don't have to live like that. If you're waiting for an invitation, it's right here, right now. I'm inviting you. When the band comes back out here, as we close in a few minutes, come down here. Now, and you're asking, why do you have to come down here? What's so magical about this up front? Nothing. But it's like what happens with Matthew here, with Levi. Jesus wants him to literally get up and leave his sin and walk away from it. And there's something refreshing and healing about that. And I'd encourage you, when the band comes up here, this is your invitation. Get up, leave your sin, and come up here. But what Matthew does with that invitation is amazing. Because here's what happens in verse 29. It says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to the sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. And I have come to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does Matthew Levi do? What does he do? He's just experienced freedom. And unlike Zacchaeus, who had to leave all that behind and give it all away, he goes, wait a minute, I have tremendous power and influence and money. I'm rich. And he goes, I can use that to offer freedom to everybody else. And so he throws this ginormous party and invites every loser he knows, every sinner that is following in his footsteps. And then he invites Jesus and every amazing godly person he knows. And he wants, I want these two people to collide. Can you imagine that Facebook invite? I mean, it was like, Matthew's having a party, we're there, right? And then the disciples and Jesus going, this is weird, we're going to Matthew's party. And he throws this huge party, and the religious say, oh, I can't believe you did that. And Jesus says, this is so great that you did this, because at this party, he passed out a bunch of freedom. I brought something with me that everybody loves, whether you want to admit it or not. This is a balloon. And what you do with the balloons is you just put air in them, and they grow. And whether you're 2 or 102, this little ball of air is super fun. Right? Tie a string on it, and you can beat it around and just do this for hours, no matter where you are, and look ridiculous, and it looks fun, and some of you are going to go out and buy one of these just because of that. You put helium in this thing, and it floats up, and then everybody just looks at it. You put helium in this thing and tie it to your shopping cart at Vons and walk around, people will go like, whoa, what's going on? You put 1,000 of these things in a net and drop them on you, and you people will lose your mind. Balloons are fun. I have a friend who sells cars in Orange County, and he says, you know what happens, Ricky, when business is bad and we haven't sold a car for a while? And I go, no. He goes, we buy some balloons. I go, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we get big round ones. We get ones that look like gorilla. We get those ones that do this. And we fill the whole lot with balloons. And people drive down the freeway, and they're like, look at the balloons. I want to buy a car. His sales skyrocket, and if they are low in sales, they just get some balloons. Because this right here, my friends, this says fun. This says party. I mean, how many of you have been like driving by a cemetery, and you see a bunch of people dressed in black, and you see a casket out there, and you're like, huh, that looks fun. I want to go do that. None of us. But how many of you have been driving by some balloons somewhere and like, I'm going, that looks like a party. Take balloons and put them all over your house and then invite someone over just for a casual dinner. They'll come in and go, someone's birthday? Sweet. And this balloon represents freedom. When you have freedom, like this video said in the beginning, you can't keep it to yourself. This balloon, by the way, does not represent success and wealth and fame and fortune and everything you want comes to you, because that's not how God works. Oh, but God will never give me any more than I can handle. He will absolutely give you more than you can handle. I'm not sure where that bumper sticker came, but that's totally not what Scripture says. It says God will not tempt you beyond what you can take. He does not say anything about giving you more than you can handle. He tells a guy to build an ark in the middle of the desert, never seen rain. He tells a 90-year-old and a 100-year-old woman, you're going to have a baby. That's more than they can handle, but he wants you to be at the end of your rope so that you can rely on him. And when you find that, that's freedom. And if you float it like a balloon, it draws people like it does at a used car lot, at a brand new, like they see these balloons and they want a part of that. And maybe this is a hard concept for you to wrap your mind around because things are going wrong in your life and how can I celebrate? There's all this stuff. Jesus said, listen, I've come in this life that, you know, to overcome. And in this life, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. And if you have a hard time with this concept, then all you got to do is talk to some of our Latino brothers and sisters in the house tonight. Where are you at? A couple of you? You know, Latinos know how to party. And I'm going to tell you what happens. It does not matter what's going on in their home life. They get together and it's a party. I'm in a park with my son when he was littler, and all I had to do was bring him home. That was it. Like, and I turn around and he's gone. And I hear this ruckus in this party, and there's this mariachi band, and I see this line of brown faces and one white face, it's my son, in this line for this piñata. And my son is like, you know, like he can't get a tan if he wants. He just gets red. He's like captain of the white boy club. And he's like in line. And the guy with the bat, he like, you know, looks at my son. He looks around. Anybody lose a little white kid? All right, here, gives him the bat. Elisha busts open the pinata. Everybody dogpiles him. He's like, he runs over to me. He's got candy. He's got a plate of carne asada. I'm like, dude, you can't just walk into somebody's party. Then I see the dad. He's like, come on over. And this guy doesn't speak a lick of English at all. All I understood was Nino and Blanco and carne asada. That's it. And he's walking me around, introducing him to people. I left that day at that park thinking, was this a family reunion? Like, was I at a family's reunion that I thought, all of a sudden I became, you know, Hispanic. I don't know what happened. It was like we were welcomed into this party. And all of a sudden, my son, it was like, yeah, heck yeah. You have a pinata, you have carne asada, I'm there. They were just doing this. This is what the church should look like, ladies and gentlemen. It should look like that. Like, what's going on over there? Oh, my word, I got to be part of that. And you know what we should do as a church? Like, heck yeah, be part of this. Get in here. Grab a balloon. What for? Because they're fun. That's what being a freedom fighter is all about. Hey, Ben, come on out. I want to do something to close a little bit different than we normally do, and here's what we're going to do. These guys are going to come and lead us in another worship song. Some of you have yet to grab a hold of this, but you see it, and it's right here. I'm saying it's right here. And then a lot of others of you, you have friends, family members, people you live with, under the same roof, neighbors, that you know are caught up in their sin. You got one of these little pieces of paper, blank piece of paper in your bulletin. Sometime I want you to write somebody's name on that. And on your way out, I want you to grab a balloon. They're by the doors if you haven't already grabbed one. And I want you to keep the balloon and this piece of paper until you have had a chance to introduce this person to this, the freedom in Christ. And then in order to do that, you're going to have to model what that looks like in your life. You're going to have to actually live like you're free. That means smile, laugh, have joy. It doesn't matter if you need a job. God will provide your needs. He always does. He always has for me. He's faithful to do that. Maybe not your wants, your needs. In the midst of it, receive this. If you guys could just stand up, everybody on their feet. It's my friend Brian. He's got cool shoes. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, because we're all a big family. Whether you like family or not, you're stuck with them, so you're stuck with each other. I just want you to put your hand on the person next to you, okay? And I want you to pray a prayer of freedom and celebration over them. And it's just this: Lord, I pray for my brother, my sister, that a spirit of freedom and celebration would fall on them in Jesus' name. That's it. Amen. And while you're doing that, these guys are going to rev you up, and they're going to send us out with the theme song of the night. It should ignite your soul, right?
Amen.
So pray for the people next to you, and if you need to get down here and leave your sin behind, get down here. There's going to be people that will meet you. So God bless you. Start praying for each other. Yeah.